Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yay, we're doing it. It's hitting record. You're my first in-person interview since I moved to Portland, which is very exciting. And so for my listeners, I'm just going to let everyone know I'm here with my friend Alex Terrazas. We were having like a discussion of whether or not I should introduce him as Alex, Alexander, or Xander, because he's a man with many names, but we landed on Alex.
I go by all the above. I've been called worse, so it's okay.
Let's talk about that. No, I'm just kidding.
Shall we?
So I wanted to have you on the show for a long time just because you're one of those people where whenever we get together, it just turns into like rabbit hole discussions. And I've always been so annoyed that I didn't have recordings of our conversations. And now I get one because you're in town visiting. So thank you so much for being on the Glittercast.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure and an honor to be not just here recording your podcast, but also to be your first in-studio guest.
You are my first in-studio guest. So I wanted to kind of just talk about, I guess we should talk about like how our friendship came to be. And I feel like it must be like, what, like 6 years ago?
Yes, actually exactly 6 years ago.
Okay, wow. Perfect. So I was visiting San Francisco at the same time you were visiting.
That's correct.
Yeah. And we had a mutual friend, Alexis, who's been on the show.
Another Alex.
Another variation of Alex. Mm-hmm. And then we just became friends. And I actually don't think I really knew you were so like into the paranormal until we started hanging out on our own. Somehow me, you, and Alexis all hung out and the paranormal didn't come up. I think we just like stretched and danced and acted like weirdos.
Well, I think that in itself was a paranormal event, the three of us coming together.
Yeah.
And, you know, we did meet in the shadows. So I don't know if you want to attribute that to anything paranormal, but that and the spank tunnels.
Yeah.
Those were my first impressions.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I like, will you please just give listeners some information about the spank tunnel?
Yeah, absolutely. So that night I met Alexis. We were both going to the same concert. So we met up after the show. She invited me to a club to go dancing. And that's when you showed up. And when you showed up, the two of you, I don't know who initiated this, but all I remember was almost immediately everybody just kind of lining up behind each other, legs spread. There were about, I would say, four or five of us in our group. And somebody like on hands and knees goes through the tunnel. And as they're going through the leg tunnel, each person they go underneath is spanking them on the butt.
That's totally what I feel like. That is for sure an Alexis brainchild.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's our first hangout sesh. Yeah, we met in the spank tunnel.
Right, exactly. So like we met in the shadows and immediately it was a spank tunnel. So like, just so listeners know, like with a spank tunnel, the person at the end of the spank tunnel, like the person going through the tunnel then becomes the person in the rear, and then the person in the front goes, yeah. I believe that's how it went.
I think so too.
Then the person in the front goes underneath the tunnel, goes through the tunnel, and then becomes the person in the rear. And then, you know, just you repeat the process.
And that's, I mean, who knows how long we did that for? It could have been hours.
Well, I remember generating quite the attention because we were doing it like in the middle of a dance floor of a very busy club on a Saturday night.
Cat Club, I think.
Okay.
Just so listeners know, I am watching Voodoo's Best Friend. And so Voodoo and Vinny, I told you this would happen, Alex. I told you as soon as we start recording, they're going to start playing and being insane. So if you hear any sounds in the background, it's the dogs. Or it's a ghost. It's up to you to decide.
If you hear heavy panting, growling,
as we're talking about the spank tunnel.
And biting. That's Voodoo and Vinny, two V's.
And like Vinny's tag could almost like sound like chains.
It could.
So I just need to take his, okay, I had to take a little break so I could take Vinny's collar off so it would be less invasive. So that's how we met. We started hanging out in LA because we both lived in LA. And we got together for a hike. And like, we just started talking about aliens for like the entire hike.
I mean, doesn't everyone else do that?
I think everyone else does that. And I just remember that I remember there was like, we were talking about different synchronicities in our life, but I remember we both had received like the same message from source or alien kind or whatever.
Whatever you want to refer to it as.
Yes.
We definitely had similar messages and or downloads, whatever your word is for those, for that type of communication or those signs.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe.
Yeah.
I believe that was, or the quote.
Should we say it? Three. It's not what you think it is. Yes.
That is the direct quote, the way I received it and the way you received
and
it.
And I feel like we even like said it to each other at the same time. Yes. Like that. And so we would like, we were talking about how on our, like in our own musings, what we would like hypothesize these paranormal experiences were, and like, just resounding, it's not what you think it is. Like, you're not going to know until you die, and then maybe you get the secrets. Maybe.
But
if I'm thinking it, that's not what it is.
Yeah. I imagine it resetting once you die, and then you just have to start all over.
Wait, life is a loop?
Could be.
Wait, so not reincarnation. Well, that could be where the multiverse comes from.
I mean, there's a lot of ways to look at it. And I for one, do not know what that is. So you can only imagine the level of confusion that fell upon me when I got that message.
Right.
It was already confusing to begin with, or is.
Yeah.
And so, like, when you get a message like that, it adds more layers to the mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's something that, it's a message that comes up a lot.
Right. Yeah, because even not even just afterlife stuff or paranormal stuff, it's like what you're trying to manifest. And we were talking about this earlier too, like, you know, saying you need something to the universe and having it manifest in just like really like unexpected ways.
Yes. So the nature of reality, that is something I feel that comes up a lot for me with that question or that message.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what you think.
Yeah. Ugh. Well, that feels more and more true every day.
Right? Yeah. I heard a great quote the other day. Actually, it was a song lyric. The lack of deeper meaning is getting deeper all the time.
Oh, yeah. That is a great.
Right?
I'm curious if you do have, because you've worked on like, we're not going to talk about this too much. Like Alex and I already discussed this. This isn't the most interesting thing about him by far, but he has worked on some paranormal shows. You spent some time in Skinwalker Ranch.
I have, yes. I have a very long career working in entertainment, and I have worked on some high profile shows that deal with the phenomena.
Mm-hmm. So is there anything that you would share? Because I know we don't want to talk about it too much, but I know that my listeners are going to be like, what, Skinwalker Ranch? Like, you got to at least ask for one follow-up question. Like, is there one thing you'd want to share about your time on Skinwalker Ranch? And then we'll move past it.
It exists.
It exists. Perfect. And it's not what you think it is.
It's a real place. Your word's not mine.
It's a real place. So coming back to sort of like your, it's funny because you're working on all these paranormal shows. Was that work that you sought out, or did it just like, did the paranormal shows seek you out?
Great question. And that particular show sought me out.
Yeah.
It came at a time in my life where I was in between projects. And the funny thing was, right before that gig kind of fell into my lap, a friend had asked me, if you could work on any type of show or any project, what would you like to do?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the three answers that I gave was UFOs.
Yeah.
I wanted to work on a show because at that point I had already done Ghosts.
Right.
I had done Ghosts and more, what do you call it? I guess, you know, just kind of like rabbit hole phenomena type stuff.
Yeah.
But I had never really specifically worked with or worked on a project that dealt with UFOs. And lo and behold, it happened almost less than a week, but definitely a few days after I had answered that question.
And that wasn't even like a connection. Like that friend asked you that, but that friend didn't get you that job.
No, this was just someone who I was hanging out with at a friend's wedding anniversary.
Aww.
And it was just, it was a random question from somebody just kind of catching up. And asking about, you know, what are you working on? What are you doing? What's next kind of a thing? And they asked, you know, well, what is something that you would like to do or work on? What is the type of show that you would like to work on?
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is just that magician life right there. That sort of like being into the occult and having things come through in really weird coincidental ways.
Story of my life.
Since we talked about UFOs, I wanted to ask you, what has your experience personally with UFOs been like?
I personally, I haven't had any, well, okay. Now, yeah, I have to think about this. And I haven't given much thought to any of this before being here tonight. So you'll have to forgive me if it takes me a moment to just kind of gather my thoughts or think about how I'm going to answer this. My experience with UFOs has been, well, I feel like I've had quite a bit of experience with UFOs. Personally, I have not. I have witnessed unexplained, I have witnessed things in the sky that to this day are still unexplained.
Mm-hmm.
But I personally don't think it was alien aircraft. I feel like what it was certainly something within the realms of explanation.
Right.
Or certainly like within the bigger picture of man-made technology.
But you just didn't know.
Just didn't know what,
it was.
Didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no clue. Like, I'll give you an example. So years ago, my girlfriend and I at the time were driving back from San Francisco,
yeah,
of all places. And as we were driving down the 5 through Central California, kind of like, well, more like the Grapevine area, we were coming down the 5 one night and we had just finished dinner. We got back on the highway. It was after 10 o'clock and I was driving. She was in the passenger seat. I saw this light approaching and it was approaching rather low and it appeared to be very nimble.
Mm-hmm.
And it was operating or it was moving in a way that seemed very uncharacteristic,
mm-hmm,
of small aircraft.
Yeah.
It was really just like, it was just cruising. Like,
right.
Just, like I said, it was very nimble.
Yeah.
And it was pivoting in ways that like a helicopter or a small aircraft can't do that.
Okay.
And it was getting closer, coming towards us.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I did notice in that moment was that it had aircraft lights. It had like blinking blue and red lights.
Oh.
So, but still, I couldn't really make out what it was. It was also, mm-hmm, at night, and it didn't have any sort of headlights.
Oh. And
so as it was getting closer, we were approaching like a bridge or an overpass on the highway, and it looked like it was going to, like, go right into it.
Oh.
On the other side of us.
Yeah.
So like we're driving south, it's coming north. And as we're approaching this overpass, it then like dipped down and then shot up over the overpass and then kind of dipped back down and then went over our car and proceeded to like go past us.
Okay.
And we both were like, what was that? Because even even as we got a closer look, we still couldn't really
tell
what it was. And then as we're proceeding to drive down the highway, to my right, I see across a field the same lights moving faster than the speed of traffic, just tracking alongside us, probably like at least, you know, 100 yards to our right, headed in the same direction, parallel to us as we're driving. And then it just went faster and faster and kept going and going and going and going. And then it just disappeared into the darkness. So she was convinced we saw a UFO.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, alien aircraft.
Yeah.
I feel like anything can be a UFO.
Right.
And it certainly was an unidentifiable flying object.
Yeah.
But I was convinced that it was a drone.
Right.
You know, I work in entertainment, and especially around that time, I've been very familiar with drone aircraft and have worked with drones. So I just thought it was a drone. There was like, I think there was a prison or some sort of like law enforcement facility nearby.
Uh-huh.
So after, this is all afterwards, I realized this because I did some research on the
area.
Yeah,
of course, you're like, what was it?
Right. Yeah. So there was a municipal airport nearby. There was also a prison. And I know that like, there was also like, I don't know if there was a military base anywhere in the area, but I mean, it doesn't matter because you can operate a drone on the other side of the world.
Right.
And you know, people are none the wiser of, you know, where the location of that operator may be. Mm-hmm. So there were some places nearby that could have explained, you know, law enforcement operating a drone or some, you know, some agency
mm-hmm.
that had this drone and they were, you know, just running tests at night and, you know, decided to pick that stretch of highway that we happened to be on. But she was convinced that we witnessed, you know, a UFO.
Right.
What people think UFOs are is, you know, alien aircraft.
Yeah.
So
I do think that there's like such an interesting parallel between like the Roswell crashing, like that timeline, and how technology just like went through the roof in the decades following that. Like it had never accelerated before ever.
Yeah.
Like we were reverse engineering some shit.
Possibly. It's possible. I feel like anything's possible with all of this stuff. And we still don't know.
I'm curious. Like, so I'll go first.
It's not what you think.
I know it's not what I think it is, but I kind of think that, like, I think Roswell happened. I think that alien bodies have been recovered from spaceships. I think the government is easing us in to more, like, of the possibility that aliens could be real just because they're, like, they're basically saying UFOs are real. Like, they basically were like, hey, guys, UFOs are real. And, like, no one gave a fuck. Like, no one, like, which is fine, I guess, what are you supposed to do? Like, unless they show you something, like, I feel like we need the theatrics or something.
Yeah, I think unless the aliens make a TikTok video
mm-hmm.
and are trying to sell some sort of, like, you know, energy drink.
I bet they're doing both
those things. People are not going to pay attention otherwise, you know.
Yeah.
I think for full disclosure, we need, like, the president to go on television and say, like, hey, everybody, mm-hmm. this is what's happening. This is what's been happening. Otherwise, people just aren't going to care. I feel like they're going to go back to their lives and, you know, be more concerned with their day-to-day lives than they would with any of that.
Right. Well, and I also think that there's like infrastructure, like sensitivities where like people might just freak out and society crumbles because reality is totally different. Like if the president did come out and was like, we don't have aliens. Here's what we know. You know what I mean?
Well, I feel like if the president, especially our current president or any president at that, I feel like if any president, any world leader were to go on television and say that, then there would also be, I mean, I feel like half of the population would be like, oh, it's a conspiracy.
Totally.
They would feel like, you know, this is the government. They're martial law. They're trying to gain control. They want to take away our civil liberties. Mm-hmm. And so they would feel like it's some sort of false flag event.
Yeah.
In order to kind of clamp down on society.
No, it's true. And there wouldn't just be one conspiracy theory. There would be 5,000
yes.
conspiracies in addition to the conspiracy theories that are already out there, surely.
Yes. And none of those people would be able to agree with any of the other people who kind of think the same way they do. And they would just all, there'd be so much infighting.
There is. And that's happening a lot right now. A lot of infighting on both sides.
Honestly, I think that's the phenomena. The trickster.
Oh my God. Yes. Let's talk about tricksters.
It's not what you think
it is. It's not what you fucking think it is. And you know what? That's all my brain was saying when you were like, it was a drone.
Fair enough. No, fair enough. You know, but see, for me personally, like I'm coming from it. Like for me, like I like to think that I'm practical and logical about things. And that's kind of like how I approach everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I have experience with drones. I also, good one. I got a good UFO story for you.
Oh,
this all ties together.
Yeah,
so, right. So I, you know, my family, military, law enforcement. And so that said, my father served in the Air Force.
Okay.
He witnessed a UFO.
Yes. Tell me.
While he was stationed in Minnesota, in the 60s.
Okay.
Before he was deployed to Southeast Asia during the Vietnam War. He was stationed in Duluth, Minnesota, and his time there on the base, he said one night while on duty, he was military police, he witnessed something that to this day he still cannot explain. And I asked him about it recently when I went to that ranch that has activity.
Mm-hmm.
Just so happens that he is a fan of that show.
Okay.
And so before I went there, I was talking to him and, you know, I shared with him that I'd be going to work up there. And, you know, I remember him telling me stories when I was a kid, and we'd like talking about that stuff when I was younger, when we would do family trips and traveling across country in an RV. And we did a lot of driving at night because there was no traffic and these long stretches of road.
And listening to Coast to Coast.
You know what? We weren't listening to Coast, but he liked telling those stories to me because he knew what a kick out of it.
Yeah.
That I was getting out of him. But, you know, I do remember, the one thing I do remember is the story that he told me about being on this base, and him and the other person on duty that night, they saw a light, mm-hmm. a very bright light, come out of the forest that was next to this base that they're on.
Oh.
So there are deep, dense woods.
Yeah.
Next to this base. And they're out in the middle of nowhere. And he said whenever, you know, a car or a truck or any vehicle would approach the base, especially at night, you could hear it for miles down the road because there was nothing around the area that they were in. And this light came out of the forest, made no sound. Oof. Very bright light. It seemed brighter than the lights that they had on base.
Yeah.
Came out from the woods, ascended above the treetops, and then made its way towards the fence that they had, you know, around the perimeter of the base. And I guess between the fence and the forest, there was a clearing, maybe 50-yard clearing.
Yeah.
To separate the fence from the forest or, you know, the wooded area. That light was moving closer towards that clearing. So it got to the edge of the woods, stopped there, stayed there for a bit.
So just hovered.
Just hovering.
Yeah.
You know, probably about 50 yards above the treetops.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then went back the way it came and then descended back into the woods without making a sound. There was no wind. It didn't give off any sort of exhaust. It made no sound. It didn't, it wasn't, the trees weren't swaying. Everything was still very calm and still and quiet. Didn't do any of the things that a normal aircraft might do.
Probably too calm and quiet.
Right?
Like eerily.
Yes, exactly. And that's it. That's the extent of the story. You know, they didn't see any shape. They couldn't make out the shape of what it may have been. All they could see was this bright light.
Wow.
Apparently, someone who was on duty later that week witnessed similar.
Okay.
And they lost their mind.
Oh.
And were committed to like a psychiatric ward.
Oh,
and,
shit.
And were never heard of or heard from again. So the story goes. I don't know, but my father didn't really affect him. Like I said, to this day, he still doesn't. When I asked him recently, what he doesn't know. Like I asked him to speculate, to guess, just take a guess, Dad. What do you think it is?
A drone.
Pretty much. Like father, like son. Yeah.
But they didn't have drone technology.
We don't know that.
Well,
I feel like technology is always at least two decades ahead of what the commercial market is well aware of what we have access to.
So what do you think AI is up to right now in the future?
Wouldn't we all like to know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's getting weird.
It's getting very weird. Oh, it's always been weird. I think it's just now because we're introducing all this new technology and because we have... We're so much more connected as globally,
right?
That we're more aware of these things.
I feel like
the hyper connectivity of everything,
right?
Just makes us so much more like, oh my god, it's happening! Oh my god! And it's like, well, no, it's kind of always been this way,
right?
I'm of that opinion. That's kind of like how I feel about all of this.
With like the AI and the technology and stuff?
Well, no, well, maybe. Who knows?
No, like uncharted territory.
AI is definitely new to us, but I mean, they may have had something in the works.
Right.
It may have been in the works for quite a while.
Right. Yeah. Well, I definitely think that's probably the case.
I mean, with anything, it takes time to develop. So naturally, it's going to be in the works. I realize that. But it might be that, like, we're just now seeing what has already been around for decades.
Yeah. I mean, and it's weird, too, because we have all these things coming out where it's like, this is like, I'm going to get real spacey for a little bit here.
Please.
Okay. So do you, like, I don't know if you're a fan of Ancient Aliens, but, like,
I've heard of them.
Okay, yeah.
They're a great great metal band.
I know, they're a great metal band. Like, one of the recurring themes is, like, we're the aliens, and, like, we're the ones that landed here, or whatever. And then, like, there's also, like, now moving away from Ancient Aliens, just in general, we have, like, the computer simulation theory, like, singularity, and, like, what the fuck, the multiverse, and we're all going to upload our personalities into the computers so we can live forever. Do you think that's what's happening?
As above, so below.
We're going to be living this podcast on a loop when we die.
Maybe. I feel like, you know, just my understanding of different sort of religions and what we are now seeing with the advancements in technology, it reflects as above, so below.
Mm-hmm.
I see that in the greater design or the way technology mimics nature.
Yeah.
And so who's to say that it doesn't just, like I said, it's just a reflection of the way things are.
Right. Okay.
But only the way we're able to replicate it or create it.
Yeah. So, it's like us being the creators, like technology is us being the creators.
We're just imitating.
Yeah.
As above, so below.
Right. So basically what you're saying is the internet is the upside down.
Yes. Yes. I mean, it could be. That's one way of looking at it.
Yeah, exactly.
I have no idea because, as you know, it's not what you think.
It's not what you think.
But I'm just saying, based on my own understanding of things and the way I've seen it or my experience with all of this, I see some similarities. Enough to make me think more than I probably should about it.
Right. When then you get like in your head sometimes.
Get very much in your head.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious sort of because I know you're into the occult and I know you like you believe in weird synchronicities and manifestation and stuff, but I've never like asked you baseline like what are your practices look like? Like how are you integrating like philosophy into your daily life?
Sure. So for me, I have to say that the paranormal, the phenomena, however you want to refer it, to it. To me, it's always, and it always has been for as long as I can remember. For me, it's always been about dreams, premonition, synchronicities.
Yeah.
That is how it shows itself, or that's how I've experienced it. Like, I've never seen a ghost. I've never seen an alien. I've never seen Bigfoot. I've never seen a UFO.
You've looked for all of those things.
I have. And I've been paid to look for all those things too. Exactly. So like I personally may not have experienced it, but I've experienced it in other ways that are still, I think, well, at least for me, it's a little more...
perceptual, like your own perception.
Yeah, my personal experience, you know, has been with, like I said, dreams, also precognition, synchronicities. That's been my experience. And I, as far as practices go, I'm very interested in the subject. And I've been interested in it for as long as I can remember, since I was a kid. And I've always been, I feel like I've been reading up or researching or just, I think the more you start to understand, the more you realize, oh, that's just part of everyday life.
Right.
And whether you choose to acknowledge it or not, that's all something that I think that we choose individually. And then how we choose to interpret it is another thing.
Right. And so, then making the, like, being kind of like aware enough to see it so that you can perceive it.
Yes.
Sorry, I cut you off. What were you going to say?
Oh, no, you're fine. But with that, I don't necessarily have, like, I don't practice ceremonial magic. I don't practice tarot. You know, I don't feel like I practice those things. I have an understanding of them. I'm interested in those subjects.
Right.
And I certainly have, you know, done enough reading and
dabbling.
Yeah. I'm definitely an experiential person.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're not going to know unless you try.
Right.
So I'm certainly open to all of it and seeing what it is and what it does. But I don't actively practice any of those things.
Right. It's more just like a psychic awareness or an intuitive awareness and just sort of being open.
Sure.
I'm curious, like, it was there a specific memory that you can sort of go back to where you're like, I'm fucking dreaming the future. Or like, I'm having premonitions, or I'm being fed information before it happens.
Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely. And as I said, like, those are the things that have been on my radar and have been happening to me since I was a kid. And as a kid, I didn't understand what these things were. And they didn't, I just kind of accepted it as my reality.
Yeah.
And I was never really like, oh, this is like, I didn't question it.
Right.
I just kind of accepted it. And it wasn't until I got older and I started, like, you know, going to libraries or started like, you know, around the age of, I would say like, you know, 11 or 12 when people start to, or maybe even younger, like maybe 10, like people start to like come into who they are.
Yeah.
And they start trying to like find themselves. That's when I really like started like gravitating towards strange things.
Yeah, same.
Like, oh, like I really like these things. I really, you know, I think one of the things that just fascinated me as a kid, it scared me, but it fascinated me. And I just had so much curiosity for was the time were the Time Life books.
Okay.
Mysteries of the Unknown, I think it was called. Mm-hmm. There was a series of books from Time Life. And it was like, it was a whole volume, or there were like several volumes. Okay. I forget how many were in the collection. There were these hardcover books. And they were all, there was one on ESP. There's one on like, you know, cryptids. There's another one on ghosts. There's one about the occult. So like all those, and that was the one that my family never got. Like we got all the other ones, but they're like, no, we're not going to get that
we're
one.
We're not
so,
doing the occult.
Right, exactly. But of course, you know, when you tell somebody they can't have it, what happens?
Oh my gosh, yeah. You want to know even more because now it's forbidden and it's mysterious and you're interested in it.
Exactly. But even further, even before that, I would say my interest in consciousness, death, and infinity have fascinated me. Mm-hmm. And that was introduced when, you know, my family decided to become, you know, born again Christians.
Yeah.
And the concept of like eternal life.
Right.
Like, what is that? And God. What is, like, what do you mean God has always been and always will be? Like, what is that? I remember staying awake.
Where does God come from?
Right? Exactly. No, exactly. So, like, as a five-year-old kid, I remember just laying in bed, like, with my eyes closed, but just being, like, as restless as can be, like, aww, in my mind, just not being able to sit still because I was just, like, thinking about these things. Like, no, how is that? How is that possible?
Oh my God. Born again Christianity made you have insomnia as a kid.
Probably. and a lot of other things.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you, okay, so.
But I feel like those questions, like very early on in my life.
Yeah.
Were posed. And like, I really chewed on those. I'm still chewing on them.
Yeah, yeah. You know, enjoy that for the rest of your life. And then one after that.
Right.
However many you have to do.
Exactly. So, yeah, I've always been fascinated with these subjects. But for me personally, like, those are the things that I kind of gravitate towards. Like, the conversations about consciousness and death. And, I mean, really, isn't that what we're all talking about here is death? Like, what?
Yeah. Do you, okay, so I know that you're like, I know your whole thing is we don't know, and I agree with that. I don't know. I have ideas about reincarnation and multiverses. I'm just curious if you have any thoughts, musings. We'll say musings because it's not what you think it is, right? So
of course.
Maybe it's what you muse it is. Do you have any musings about like if you've been here before, if you've known other souls and other lives? Like, what are your musings?
Well, that's. Yeah, see, I always like to say, like, well, if I were to subscribe to this,
yeah,
then this is what I would think. So, like, let's talk about reincarnation.
Yes.
If that's a thing, there's certainly been times in my life that have given me reason to pause and think more about it than I ever would. Because I personally don't subscribe to reincarnation.
Yeah.
But there certainly have been enough personal experience and also just meeting people, yourself included, where it's like, I feel like there's like we were friends in a past life.
Because that's true. Because the thing is, like, I think I could count on my 10 fingers how many times we've hung out in person easily. But it's always just like, oh, hey, my old buddy, like,
right,
let's pick up and where we left off talking about consciousness and aliens, right, like that type of thing.
Right. Just an old soul in this cycle.
Yeah.
Glad to have found you in this life.
Yeah. Likewise, man.
That's what, you know, I tell all my homies.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I'm glad we found each other in this cycle.
I think that when you have this sort of, I don't know, openness to just like soul bonds. Mm-hmm. For lack of a better term, I think it makes it easier to just like find friendships and just have people come into your life casually versus like having to search for it or seek it out.
Sure.
Because there's just like an openness, I think. And like you're, it's like when, I don't know, like your energies want to find each other, right? Like those wavelengths want to connect.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's just my approach to life in general. Mm-hmm. It's just trying to be open.
Right.
To whatever it has to offer, however it may present itself. And more often than not, that's when the fun really happens.
You've been having a lot of fun with music.
I have.
And if I was going to say you practice like a philosophical or spiritual or magical thing, like I'd say like you're making magical music right now. Like music is your magic. Because you just released an album with your band, Hologram Fatigue. And I don't know, maybe it's growing up punk rock, but like whenever a friend's like, my album's out, I'm like, great. Cause you listen to it because it's your friend. And then I listened to yours and I was like, oh shit, like I'm gonna work to this. I'm gonna meditate to this. I'm gonna do yoga to this. It's like, I was like, oh my God, a friend gave me, they showed me that they have an album and I wanna listen to it and I'm excited about it.
Thank you so much for saying that. That means a lot. It really does. And I'm not just saying that as a friend and as somebody who, you know, I feel like we jive with very well, like creatively. You and I have a very strong creative bond.
Yeah.
And I feel like we bring the best out of each other when we're...
Yeah, you've done most of my photos that I use for really professional stuff. You did all my witch doctorate photos.
I did. That's right.
The cover art for the Glittercast with the, I can't get iTunes to change the picture. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. And I fucking hate the picture that's on iTunes. But on Spotify and everywhere else, there's like my Glittercast picture is a photo that you took.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, okay. Where were we? We were talking about
Yeah. And I wanted to talk about, so it is very magical. It elicits magical, sparkly feelings. And you were telling me a little bit at lunch, because we ate before this, about like your process. And I was like, shut up, I want to record this. Like, don't tell me anything else. So why don't you, like, I know that you have your partner. So why don't you tell a little bit about the project? And then I want to sort of follow up with the questions that were popping in my head at lunch.
Great. Well, first of all, thank you for listening to the entire album. And also thank you for understanding exactly what it's about, for just getting it, but then also to, it is so applicable to all those things that you described, the working, meditation, yoga, because I feel like that's our wheelhouse. Like that is where, that's how we create our music, in a very natural flow. Mm-hmm. And for people to say, this is how I've been listening to your music, it just makes me so happy, because immediately it's like, oh, you get it. Like,
yeah.
This is, yes, it's music for those things. So if you enjoy those things, great. If you want to enhance it, this might help.
It does help. It totally helps. So tell me a little bit about the birth of this project.
So Hologram Fatigue began...
Great name, by the way. Great fucking name.
I can't take credit for that.
It's good, though.
That's my partner. And he, well, so this all ties into the origin story of Hologram Fatigue. So my partner, shout out to Ruggs, he is somebody who I met during one of my professional projects. We worked together and became very good friends. Immediately connected. Like we're talking about those bonds with people who you just connect with instantly. We had that type of connection. And so we became good friends outside of work and remained in contact, but then lost contact. And it wasn't until 2020 during the pandemic that we reconnected. So we had agreed to do some outdoor hangs and just catch up and, you know, see each other. We missed each other. If it was time to
Yeah.
We were long overdue for a good friendship hang.
Yeah.
So we did. And during one of those hangs, he mentioned having hologram fatigue. And that just stopped me dead in my tracks. I died of laughter. I just thought, not only I laughed because it's true, because yeah. I get it. I knew exactly where he was coming from with that. And I said to him, I know what you mean, but what do you mean?
Right.
Like, I get it, but how do you mean that?
Yeah.
So he explained and I was like, got it. Like, yes, makes complete sense. I understand.
What did he say?
I don't remember his exact words.
To summarize,
The Matrix.
Okay, yes.
That's it, The Matrix.
It's so funny because I was showing you my magic mirror where I do my workouts, and it's basically like, I told you, like, oh, like the like a little hologram appears in the mirror and I do my workouts. And I'm like so tired at the end. So it's my hologram fatigue.
Yes, but it's all.
It's so much more than that.
It's all a hologram.
Though. Yeah,
like exactly. There's so many ways, like the hologram can be so many things for so many of us.
Right.
Whether or not you subscribe to matrix theories or Gnosticism or perhaps, you know, just the material world at large.
Yeah.
Capitalism, whatever that hologram is.
Yeah.
We're all suffering from it.
We're all so tired of it.
We're all so tired of it.
We're so tired.
Yes.
But not if you listen to this, you'll feel relaxed about it.
systems at large, we're all very tired.
Yeah.
And so that was just his way of expressing his tiredness of all things. And you got to remember too, this was December 2020. So this was like peak pandemic. Yeah. This is before the vaccinations rolled out.
Before rapid tests even, or like right when rapid tests were getting rolled out.
Yeah. So we were all feeling the burn at that time.
Yeah.
Like hard. And so that right there was just enough for me to say, stop. I think we're onto something.
Yeah.
I took note and then, you know, we proceeded with our conversation and hang time. And then it wasn't until the next time we got together, which was like the week after, we started elaborating on hologram fatigue. We went back to hologram fatigue and we kept elaborating on that. And I was like, all right, I think we need to do something about this. Like, this is a great concept, but there needs to be some action. So we had both been talking about playing music together. We're both musicians. We both have our own backgrounds independent of each other with doing musical stuff. So figured now's the time to do that. And I said, okay, so let's plan on meeting again a week from now, but let's make music. And that's what we did. And it just grew out of that. So during the great conjunction of 2020, we started playing music and we started recording our first session. We recorded and it just kind of grew from there.
Right.
And what was kind of special about it too was like, you know, while everybody's getting into baking bread, we were getting into electronic music. And I feel like a lot of musicians were too, because people couldn't play as bands.
Right.
So everybody was just doing home studio recordings,
right. Yeah.
Whether it was with, you know, conventional instruments or actual electronics, synthesizers, software, things like that.
Yeah.
Things that are all less traditional instruments. And that's what we did. That's the path that we went down. And it just worked. Like almost immediately, we just knew like, yeah, this feels right. So it was really like a form of therapy.
Right.
And just kind of like expressing ourselves in a way that we both needed to in a moment, I think, that we were all having globally. Everybody was just kind of having this hologram fatigue moment. And this was our way of just like
having an outlet.
Yes.
So you told me a little bit about the setup, and you guys both bring your synthesizers, whatever equipment you need, and you sync up on the recording device.
Yeah, so the way we record is all of our recordings are recorded live. It's just the two of us, and we just start playing. And
yeah,
we don't really write the way you would write a song, like you show up to practice and you'd be like, hey, I've been working on this song and it sounds like this, and this is the key it's in, and these are the notes that I'm playing. And no, we just really like, it's like guided meditations. We just kind of like jump in.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I know. When I was listening to it, I was like, I want to like make these into guided meditations.
Please do.
I mean, I might talk to you about that later. But so when you guys meet and you record, is it just someone starts, or do you like throw out keywords? Are you like, what are we going for? Let's see what happens. Like, or do you just like, okay, set up, let's go.
We almost, so during the setup, as we're setting up our gear, that's kind of the time that we have to just catch up and talk. Mm-hmm. That's like the hang.
Friend time.
Yeah. That's friend time setting up. And then when we are all good to go, we just dive in. And from that point on, very few words are spoken.
Yeah.
There's very little eye contact. We're the way you and I are sitting across from each other, that's exactly how we perform our music. Is just
conversation with the synth.
Yes, we're conversing via electronics.
Yeah.
So occasionally we have our headphones on too, just like we do.
Yeah.
But we don't have microphones, and so we can't really hear each other. If we choose to speak to one another or we need to get the other's attention, we kind of have to like wave.
Right.
Because we're so in our own, you know, literally in our own music.
Yeah.
With our headphones on. So if we need to communicate, that's how we do it. But we've gotten so good at not communicating.
It's better not to.
We just don't even.
Do you feel like, because you'd mentioned at lunch that it almost feels like a channel, like you're creating a channel together, you're channeling creativity, you're channeling something, and it's a shared experience. Do you feel like you guys get into these flows where in your mind you start to know what he's going to do next before he does it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That, I cannot tell you how many times that's happened. And there's actually been a few moments where I will test us just to see like how connected we are,
yeah,
how psychically linked we may be. So I will do things just to see like, okay, like, are we really connected?
Yeah.
And so only I know. And I would say 90% of the time, it proves to be accurate.
Have you had conversations about it afterward? Like, I knew you were going to do that. Like, do you guys like bro, like chest bump and like, that was rad. I knew you were going
to
do that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to.
Like, yeah.
That's just like, that's part of like, yeah. Yes. Yes. To answer your question. Yes, we do. We do. We do, you know, self-congratulatory, or we do get excited about things. Like, you know, we don't go in there like these stoic monks and we're just,
yeah,
this is what we do. No, we have a very good working relationship. And so, but like I said, like we've gotten so good at just doing it,
yeah,
that we don't really need to have those conversations. Certainly in the moment, but even afterwards, sometimes it's just like, yeah, that felt good. Yeah, that felt good.
Right, yeah. Cool.
We're just going to leave it like that. We don't need to like,
yeah,
not even going to address that. Mm-hmm. Just let it be. It was what it was.
Do you sort of start to like notice like you influencing him and vice versa, like your music changing or his music changing, just from like almost like your guys are becoming a vortex?
Yes. It's like any relationship.
Yes. Oh my gosh. You start to mirror each other in certain ways.
Absolutely.
Does the sort of telepathic communicating without words, do you think that spans beyond music, or like, do you feel like you,
yes,
know when you're going to hear? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it does. You know, finishing each other's sentences,
mm-hmm,
knowing somebody's going to want a sparkling water.
Yeah.
When you hand them a sparkling water.
That like, that's the first thing I did when,
right,
you came to my house.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But no, to be fair, everyone wants a sparkling water.
I would hope so.
Yeah. What were you going to say?
Well, yeah, I feel like that this ritual that we perform,
it's totally a ritual,
has strengthened our bonds as friends, but also as everything else.
Yeah.
Anything else that falls under the umbrella of our friendship, like it really has strengthened those. And it's also been like there's a link, you know. I feel like we are psychically connected. And I feel like that was enhanced through ritual.
Totally.
And so this, if you, you know, back to your, one of your original questions was, you know, do you practice, you know, what are your practices, rituals, things like that. Like I may not be actively practicing what some people consider to be magic or occult practices like on the surface, but you could say that what we do as a electronic project is a form of magic in itself.
I think it is.
Ritual magic or some sort of ritual perform. What am I trying to say here? Help me out. You're the magic person.
Like a, you know, just a ritual. Like
just a ritual.
Yeah, ritual, channeling, putting it out there, you know.
Yeah.
Just like wagging your magical dicks in the air.
Right.
For everyone to listen to.
Right. So like if you wanted to get woo with it.
Yeah. And you, I do.
Please, by all means. I mean, you can draw your own conclusions based on what I've told you. Like, oh yeah, this is what they're doing. Like,
yeah.
We don't necessarily see it that way, but I mean, I brought it up to you.
You must feel it though. You must feel the energy. You must feel the magic and the sparkly, I don't know, energy.
No, absolutely. We totally feel like and this ties into the, like the greater conversation that we were having about, you know, the phenomena and like, it's for me, it's very experiential. Mm-hmm. So this could be an extension of that for me or for us.
Right.
Who aren't necessarily practicing those things or what you would say
in a traditional sense.
In a traditional sense. Thank you. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But this is, you know, this is in a way almost, it's like a hyper sigil.
Yes. That could be the name of your next album.
The next album.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can I put one of your songs at the end of this episode so people can get a taste?
Please do.
Okay, cool.
I would be so flattered.
Thank you. I'll leave that after I'll do that after we close out. We're pretty much at time now. So if people want to find you, if people want to like, you know, this is your opportunity to plug whatever you want, whether it's social media, anything.
Sure. So the band name is Hologram Fatigue, and that's spelled exactly like it sounds. There's no special spelling on any of those two words, Hologram Fatigue. You can find us on Instagram at hologram.fatigue. And we are currently streaming our new album, our debut album, Massless, on all streaming services. So that includes Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube Music, or any of the others.
Your Alexa will play it. If you say, Alexa, play Hologram Fatigue, which is what I do when I'm writing my horoscopes.
There you go.
And she does it.
Yes.
Yeah, so your horoscopes that you read. I was listening to Hologram Fatigue when I wrote them. This batch coming up.
And you can find me on Instagram at Neil Young. And that's spelled NIHIL.JUNG.
So good.
And we never got to dreams.
Fuck. Well, what did you, I mean, we could do a little bit of dream stuff.
I'll be here for another week.
All right, cool. Maybe we'll have to part two.
I think so.
All right. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.